God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Matthew 8. Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples woke him up saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." Jesus replied, "O ye of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it became completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Dear friends in Christ, Hurricane Ian has led me to replace my normal LWML sermon with a special message. The theme I've chosen is, if it takes a storm to get you to see Jesus, then the Lord will send a storm. God's creation is broken. That's why we face Category 5 hurricanes, F5 tornadoes, 500-year floods, and life-altering earthquakes. But our Savior is not broken. Now, Jesus was broken to pieces 2,000 years ago on a cross when he faced the full-blown storm of God's wrath, so that in Christ, no matter what storm hits our lives, they cannot ultimately harm us, for there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus was crucified to put the Humpty Dumpty of our sin-broken creation back together again and to fully restore it. Yes, God's creation is broken, as we've seen in the news coming out of Florida. But our Savior is no longer broken. After he died to forgive every sin we ever did wrong, he didn't stay dead. He checked back out of his grave alive and unbroken, so that no storm we face, no matter how intense, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The broken creation will still hit our lives, at times very hard, and it does hurt. But because our once broken but now risen Savior, we live under the all-forgiving reign of Jesus Christ, who reigns over all things for our good. So, we're saved in Jesus. Well and good, Pastor, but why does God permit the storms to hit us? If it takes a storm to get you to see Jesus more clearly, or to hang on to him more tightly, then the Lord will send a storm. You see, Jesus sends the storms not to crush us, but to restore us. Sometimes Jesus will pull out every support from under us so that we have no other option but to trust in him. In our text, Jesus asked the disciples to get into a boat and go across the sea, even though he knew that a storm was about to hit. So why does Jesus allow this storm? He does so first to remind us that he's in the same boat with us, in the midst of our storms. In the book of Job, God permitted the devil to stir up a whirlwind, and that whirlwind took the lives of all 10 of Job's children. And Job struggled. Why did God allow that storm? But at the end of the book, God spoke to Job, you got to get this, out of a whirlwind. What's the point? God is telling Job in no uncertain terms, and us, I was with you in the storm. And my angels carried your children home to heaven. And not only would Job see his 10 children again in heaven, but then our Savior gave Job 10 more children after the storm. Our gracious God is so good, who never fails us. And he was with the people of Florida this past week, working to call lost people to faith in Jesus as their only hope, and to strengthen the faith of those who are already his. And the Lord will continue to be with the people of Florida to help them pick up the pieces of their lives. The sun is shining today in Florida, and restoration has begun. Psalm 107, the Lord stills the storms to a whisper, and the waves of the sea he hushes. But couldn't God do it in a gentler way, Pastor? At times, God has to use a storm. As long as we think we can save ourselves, live our lives without Him, and carry our burdens alone, we have no need of a Savior, a life giver, or a burden bearer. God at times allows storms to hit our lives and give us more burdens than we can carry, so that we have no other option but to turn to Him and unload. The Lord will at times send more problems than you can bear, so that all you can do is cry out to Him in prayer, which is all that He ever wanted, a depending on Jesus life. Origen, an early church theologian, said, "The Savior constrained the disciples to get into the boat and the storm in order to learn again where life is to be found. For it was in the storm and Jesus calming the storm that they saw their Savior anew." There is nothing more strengthening to our faith than when our Savior rescues us from our storms. But in order to rescue us from our storms, He first has to send a storm. It's easy to trust in Jesus when the water is calm and the sky is blue. But it's also easy to forget about Jesus. It's not as easy to forget about Jesus when the water is rushing over the side of our boat or into our homes. Yet we're told that while the waters were flooding over the side of the disciples' boat, Jesus is asleep in the hold. So they wake Him up, all hands on deck. "Teacher, don't you care that we are drowning? Don't you care?" Of course He does. 1 Peter 5, "Cast all your cares upon Me," because He cares for you. He entered the waters of Mary's belly. He entered the waters of His baptism in the Jordan. He entered the flood of God's wrath on the cross, with the heavy millstone of our judgment tied around His neck, pulling Him all the way down into the depth of hell. He loved us to hell and back. And just as He was sleeping in the hull of that sinking boat with His disciples, He fell asleep in death on the cross for you and me. Make no mistake, Jesus cares. The greatest storm that night was not in the sky or on the waves, but it was in the disciples' hearts. Don't you care? If you really care, Jesus, you do something. Maybe you felt the same this past week. Our sin is that we oftentimes walk by sight and not by faith. We want more evidence than just the cross and empty tomb that God loves us. And yet when everything is going well, we often lose sight of our Savior and forget our forgiveness. So if it takes a storm to get us to hold more tightly to our crucified and risen Savior, then God will send a storm. Have you ever thought that if the only thing God ever gave us was the all-forgiving cross of Christ and His death-conquering resurrection, that really would be enough to live in heaven, to live forever? If all Jesus ever done was to die on the cross and rise again, that would be enough to save us and give us life in paradise, much greater than Sanibel Island. Even when storms assail us and floods wash us away, Jesus already went down with the ship and sunk into our death on Calvary and rose again out of the flood on Easter morning. The old sinner in us is the source of every storm and flood we really face in life. But that sinner has already been drowned in baptism. And we have been united with the Savior who can walk on water, the Savior who can still storms and wind and waves, the Savior who can check back out of His grave alive so we have nothing to fear. And that's why He says to us in Isaiah 43, "Fear not, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are Mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you away." It takes faith to trust that a sleeping Jesus in your boat can save you. It takes faith to trust that a sleeping Jesus on the cross has saved you. Jesus heard their cries and He woke up. He heard our cries this past week, and He's already woken up on Easter morning. You may say, "But He didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted." Perhaps. But know this, the Bible says, "The Lord says to the waves, this far you may go and no further." You know what that means? It means that no storm can touch us unless God permits it, when God permits it, where God permits it, to the extent God permits it, and for the purpose God permits it. And the Bible says God works all things together for our good, for the good of those who love him. The purpose of the storms, as one of our hymns puts it, our sin to consume and our faith to refine. Luther understood that God at times permits storms and allows us to be weak, so that in our weakness we have no other choice but to hold on to him who is our strength. It's not always easy. The storms hurt. Even Luther said when he was facing a lot of trials at once, he said, God, I wish you wouldn't love me so much. Jesus heard the disciples' cries, and he hears the cries of the people in Florida and throughout the nation. And what? Jesus opened his sleepy eyes, looked around at the wind and the waves, the water and the soggy disciples, and he said two words in English, one word in Greek, be still. The way you might speak to an annoying dog that keeps barking. It's the same words where he tells the demons to shut up. He says to the wind and the waves, be still. One little word and the chaotic waters are calm and the storm is still. The sun is shining in Florida today. But we can't hear the word that stills the storms until we go through the storms. And then he says to his disciples, oh, ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are you acting as if a sleeping Jesus is a useless Jesus? I'm just sleeping because I'm a little tired, but I'm also true God. And as true God, he never slumbers nor sleeps. He is at all times ruling over all things for the sake of his body, which is the church, and for the sake of leading the whole world to trust in him as Savior. If Jesus single-handedly conquered sin, death, hell, the grave, and the devil to make us his own, then you not only know that he cares for you, but that he can and will rescue us from all these lesser problems. Jesus said, be still to the storm, and there was a great calm. Stilling the storm, calming the chaos, setting things right again, restoring all things. That's what God did for us at the cross, and that's what he's still doing for us because of the cross. God has reconciled the whole world to himself in the death of Jesus. And if it takes an occasional storm and God's stilling of the storm to remind us, you still the storm of my sin, death, and hell when you let the flood of God's wrath take you away into death. Then he'll permit an occasional storm to touch our lives. Max Licato said, a season of suffering is a small price to pay for a clear view of your Savior. The disciples know that they are now safe because Jesus was with them in their boat in the midst of the storm. Whereas they once feared the powers of nature, the sea and the storms, the wind and the waves, our text said, and they were feared with great fear and asked, who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, the wind and the waves obey him for our salvation, which is exactly what Jesus wants, that we fear, love, and trust in him above all things. The raging seas in the Bible represent one of two things, either the attacks of the devil or the attacks of the sinful world or the judgment of God. But as Jesus stills the storm, he's all but shouting to us, I've conquered the devil, I've conquered the sinful world, and I've conquered God's wrath. He has stilled the big storm, and that calls for fear, love, and trust when we go through the smaller storms. Why the storm? Because before the storm hits, it's easy to keep God at a distance. Before the storm hits, it's easy to forget Jesus. Before the storm hits, it's easy to find life in pleasures and possessions, gizmos and gadgets, sports and status, fun and vocations. Before the storm hits, it's all enough to make Jesus an optional activity. That is, before the storm hits. If it takes a storm for us to realize that there is nothing more important than Jesus in my life, who has who has stilled the storm of my sin and the death it deserves and the wrath of God, and has walked out of his grave alive as the beginning of this great resurrection harvest. And if it takes a storm for us to see that as the sweetest deal we've ever been given, then God will send a storm. Where was Jesus when the storm hit? Was he sleeping in the hole and that's why it happened? The answer is, as we see in our text, he was right there in the middle of the storm with us, with the disciples. He was in the same boat or flooded house with us, redemptively for us, working all things together for our good, making all things new again. To see that calls for repentance and faith, a new way of looking at things. For the same word spoken from the mouth of Jesus that stilled the storm for those disciples is the same word that forgives your sins and justifies you before God. Because God drowned the old sinner us in the waters of baptism and brought us out of those waters, a new creation. Because of that, you are safer than you could ever imagine, safe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You are safe when the winds and the waves hit, and when they die down, and even if they don't. In closing, imagine you were out there on that stormy sea, or the only one in your neighborhood as Hurricane Ian descended, all alone, the wind howling, the waves crashing. So you grab Jesus and say to him, "Lord, save us, we're going to die." But instead of rebuking the wind and waves, what if he wrapped his crucified and risen arms around you and said, "Don't be afraid, you're safe." And he says nothing more. If the only thing Jesus ever gave us in his life, in this life, was his forgiving cross and his death conquering resurrection, that's all we need to live abundantly, to live forever. And all the other care and restoration he gives us is just icing on the cake. All in Jesus.